moment before we go any further. And I want to kind of disturb this baby over here. And I kind of want to prop him up so that you understand his purpose. That's the beginning, and that's the
end. So if you'll bow your heads with me, say, Lord Jesus, I have had a beginning in this realm, and I will have an end in this realm. But I'm not doing it alone. Hallelujah. I give you praise. Because I know that there are angels all around. Hallelujah. This morning, I sought the heart of the Lord for today, and I heard Luke 2, and when I got to a particular verse, my spirit jumped, because it brought me back immediately to my trip with my wife, and I shared with you that we were blessed when we went to Nashville, Tennessee, and visited Trinity Broadcasting's studio there. And one of the highlights was to visit the studio and all the things that they have. But then there was a bookshop. And the people that were in that bookstore were very, very sweet to us. Loved the Lord. And while I was walking around, and of course, my wife was hunting for a gift for this one and a gift for that one to bring back as souvenirs for the kids. And, you know, let's face it, how many know ladies have talents for shopping? Right, of course. Well, I was looking around, and there are so many items in that gift shop that you don't have enough eyes to see. But then, as I was praying in the Spirit, I was led to this particular bunch of shelves, and on that shelf was that one little figurine piece that you see with the Lord and the big angel next to him ministering to the Lord. And immediately my heart was filled with sadness and then an odd joy. Because when I was in Israel, that was one of the places where the Holy Spirit really impacted my life, was in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I want to show you in Luke chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going to read it twice, because I'm going to read it to you in the NIV, and I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. The NIV says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Hallelujah. Verse 13 in the Amplified. Then suddenly there appeared with the angel an army of the troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood. Did you hear me? A heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased. With whom he is well pleased. Men of goodwill and of his favor. I want you to just kind of close your eyes for a moment. I want you to declare with me. Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest.
And on earth.
And on earth.
peace
among men,
with whom
he
is well pleased. That's me.
Men of goodwill.
And of his favor. That includes me. I am favored of God. That's his word to me today. Because he's resident inside of me. His spirit dwells
right inside of me.
He's not looking at me from the outside.
He's looking at me
from the inside.
And he knows my needs.
Amen? Why am I pondering to give you an insight into your beginning as well as his? Because when he was born in Bethlehem, it was a crisis situation. Now, if you begin to read Luke 2, you'll see Mary was in trouble. The baby was coming. No place to sit. No place to be comfortable. No handy hospital. No nurses. No nobody. Nobody around. Just Joseph. And he might have been a little bit tired. And certainly not having known his wife at all, because she was a virgin, creating quite a spray of all kinds of anxieties, all kinds of pressures, dealing with the unknown, not understanding what's next. Panic would try to set in. But out of all those things, there was an awareness. Because you see, Mary had already had a visit from an angel. Yes or no?
Yes.
She had already witnessed a confirming voice, because when she went to her cousin Elizabeth, there was a confirming voice in Elizabeth, because Elizabeth was now pregnant. Totally impossible to the natural mind. And her husband had had an angel come to him. How many know that Zechariah, her husband, had an ability to write? So I'm positive, even if he couldn't talk. Guess what? Elizabeth knew. When that baby started to stir in her womb, in her late age, whatever age she was, probably in her 60s, could have been more. I mean, you know, let's be honest. What kind of chit-chat do you think went on between Elizabeth and Mary? Mary's never had a husband. She's pregnant. I mean, the questions, the doubts, the unbelief, all of that had to be exposed in those conversations that they had together. Certainly Mary would have heard that, my God, an angel came to your husband, and now look at that, you've got a baby coming, and this is exciting. Do you think there's a possibility that she could have prayed for some help? Come on, women. Could she have prayed for help?
Sure.
Thank you. Do you think the angel showed up just because it was a great idea that they had in the morning? Well, come on now. Why did they show up? Because it was the first time that they could see the Creator with their own eyes. I can remember the first time I gazed at my firstborn son. It was exciting, but not half as exciting as my secondborn, because I knew what to expect to a degree. And God had prepared a very special treat. I got to see him, because in those days they kicked the husbands away, and all the rest of the story I can go into, but
when the baby came, I landed on the third floor of that hospital in very few minutes flat. And when she walked out of the delivery room, the nurse, she saw the huffing and puffing that I was doing as I reached the third floor, because I didn't want to wait for the elevator. I had wings on my feet. And she had him in a cloth, and she says, "I haven't even washed him yet. You must be Mr. Bergeron." And I said, "I'm guilty, definitely guilty." And she says, "This is your son." That moment is sealed in my heart. It'll never go away. I never want it to go away. But I want you to really comprehend what the shepherds, when they heard that company of angelic voices, because it wasn't just one angel came to hold up. There's an angel that came, but there's more. Amen? It said, an army of the troops of heaven. An army. It's not a couple of your little guys coming up with maybe a couple of little bow ties or whatever, singing a hallelujah chorus. An army is an army. You know, there's a multifaceted message here, hoping that you'll wake up, that you're not alone and you never will be. If I can get that into your heart in seed form, it's going to grow. Every seed that God puts into me, I want it to grow. You're going to be so assured of His presence and His army around you that you'll stop the fear tactics right now. If I can get this truth into your heart, you will be able to convince those that are scared out of their wits. God's in charge. He's got angels on the job. If you want some, start praying. Yeah. And you know, God does everything for a purpose. I would say about 9 or 10 years ago, we had a young lady that came from Albany, New York to teach us at the Passover feast. We had just been to Israel. I had just returned a couple years. I had not forgotten what it was like. And this young woman had done a lot of research, and she said, "Does anybody know why Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem of all places?" And of course, we had all the normal scriptures that we had known and learned that, you know, yes, Bethlehem is called the house of David. It's also called the house of bread. And the word Bethlehem means house of bread. What we didn't know is her research had gotten her to realize that the lamb that had to be slaughtered had to be born in Bethlehem, because that's where all the lambs were slaughtered and born, had to be from the town of Bethlehem. The high priest would not accept a baby lamb, a year old, from any other town. They would supervise those fields and make sure that the sacrificial lamb would come from that one town. I never knew that. So, she said, remember, Jesus could not be born in the house because he was a lamb. How many know lambs are born in the stable? So she gave us some of those details. In case you forgot, there was a reason. Lambs are born in a barn. He was the lamb that had to be born in the field, along with the other sheep. Think about it. When he was brought into the holy city on what we call Palm Sunday, as we celebrate the year, he's a mature man, but it started as a boy. When he was brought into the city, they sang one song. Hosanna to the King of Kings, right? Lord of Lords. The Lamb of God. All these things God had prepared ahead of time. The angels and the troops that were singing got a real, let's say, awareness to the shepherds that were in the fields, because these are the guys that showed up first. Amen? Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
Oh, yeah, right.
You say, oh, it's no big deal, Kim, if an angel shows up. I got news for you. Wait till it happens to you. We'll see how many of your reactions and your emotions stay absolutely calm and collected. When the realm of the spirit is open to the natural eyes, I'll tell you truthfully, you get shattered. Something breaks on the inside. Your unbelief is exposed. And yes, tears come. Mary, you should have your hand up. You know. Tina, am I right? Hey. The presence of the Lord is tangible around us. That doesn't mean we always see. But it is an awareness that He is present in some. And if we walk in different areas, we pick up different vibes. Some people call it awareness. I call it discernment, because that's what God shows us. So the angels, amen, appeared. Angels of the Lord, not angels of hell. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a barn. Manger. Where lambs are born. Did the angels have a problem? I don't think so. Did the shepherds understand? I don't think so. Did they comprehend the fullness of what was going on? I don't think so. And you know, when I came to the Lord, I remember by golly, learning about Him even when I was a boy. My mom is the one that taught me to the best of her ability. How many know there are accusing voices all around us all the time? I can tell you this. My mom was a gift from heaven, just like your mom's were, and your dad's. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. Are they under construction just like you? Yes, that's exactly right. You're not going to be perfect for a while, so don't get too nervous. Nobody's going to ask you to be anything but you. You were designed by God to be who you are, not somebody else. And my mom was going through a hard time because my dad had been sick and he'd gone home to be with the Lord. So this is probably 1990. And she was going through a struggle in her own heart. The accusing voices were pretty strong, and I was aware to a degree. But we had a lady that was part of the intercessory team at Grace Church. And this one night, we used to start intercession at 5 o'clock, and we'd finish for 7, so that we'd be ready for the service at 7:30. And it's not important the vessel. What's important is the word that came. She had no knowledge of my mom's background or mine. She was a sister in Christ. We had known her for a couple of 3 years by that time. And this one night, she went up to my mother and she says, "Amelia, I want to give you a word, because I've got a word in my heart for you." And that's how the Holy Spirit works. So my mom got up and she began to release what God had showed her in the realm of the Spirit. And she said, "The reason that you're under a lot of pressure right now is because of what you deposited in this boy that you brought up." And my mother's tears started to well up. And I'm listening. She says, "I want you to know that the Holy Spirit was with you when you were teaching him as a boy, because no one else was to teach him but you." And my mother had no real value in herself. She was always looking down on herself. She looked up at this woman and she said, absolutely nothing. She just was frozen on those words. She says, "And I want you to know that the Lord's angels were there when you were teaching him on your lap as a boy, telling him about Jesus." And then my mother broke down. And I broke down. Because no one knew. I was supposed to be taught by the nuns, but I couldn't go because I was sick. So my mother is the one that had to train me for my first communion. As a good Roman Catholic little boy, somebody had to teach me. And it was happened to be Mom. She taught me my questions, she taught me my answers. That day, my mother was lifted up because the value of the price she had paid was now identified. I want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to declare with me, "There are secrets in my heart that only the Holy Ghost knows. And my parents paid a price because of me." Because the Holy Spirit would come in and live inside of me someday. So much of the persecution they went through, very likely could be because of Christ's presence in me. Just like Mary was warned that she would hurt on the inside someday because she carried that baby to delivery. Somebody did it for me. And the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, is alive and well inside of me. And changing the world around me. Just like Jesus changed the world around him. I give you praise, Lord. And I'm excited about the angels that are on the job. They're doing a work. They're protecting me and those of my house. That's God's guarantee for me. And I refuse to believe the lie. That those angels are not on the job. So today I break the lie. I declare it boldly. There are troops around me. Angelic army. On the job. Because of Christ Jesus. Inside of me. Hallelujah. This is going to be a different Christmas. I'll be aware. My ears will be ready. To hear the hallelujah chorus. On that birth. Of Jesus inside of me. Celebrating. How he is alive. In my flesh. For the glory of God. And not for the glory of man. But to lift up.
and set free those who have been captivated. And now are being called to salvation. For me
and my house,
we will serve the Lord and give him all the glory and all the praise. And the angels are around. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's your job. Ponder what God has revealed to you about this salvation, which is so awesome. When you realize that Christ Jesus is alive inside of us to change the world around us, Christmas won't be all about shopping. It's going to be about how he is so alive and definitely changing this earth, just like he did the first time. Just like he did the very first time. As we drove home, I remember my mother talking about Kay and saying, you know, how could she have known? And I said, "Mom, Holy Spirit can reveal anything to anybody. But why tonight, Kim?" I said, "Because God wanted you to be lifted up tonight. You know, when you take on a job that is God ordained, there's a price to pay. Those of you who have taken time to bring up children, and you paid a price, God is not forgotten what he's placed in your hearts." I want you to close your eyes right now. Put your hand over your heart. Say, "Lord Jesus,
continue to heal
me.
As I give forward
in the days ahead,
courage to those
who are broken.
And sometimes when I'm broken,
make me aware.
Remind me, Holy Spirit,
that those angels are on the job.
I'm not going to forget this day, Lord.
For as long as I live.
Because you placed me
to give words of life
to many children
and more down the road.
So I will celebrate
what you have given me,
what you have done through me,
and the lives that I have touched.
This day
will continue to radiate
the light of Christ.
Because the seeds of life
that I have placed in them
will someday
give credit
to my spirit
when God says,
"Well done,
my child."
Hallelujah.
The days following that experience, I remember my mother saying to me, "You know," she said, "there was a joy in teaching you about Jesus." And she reminded me of some of the things that happened. And a few weeks ago,
I was in Canada with her sister, the only one that's left. And we're sitting down and we're having breakfast, and my wife and I and my aunt, and we're talking about one of my cousins. One of my cousins, his dad passed away when he was 12. And he happened to be my dad and my mom's godchild. So his dad, they had 8 children, I believe, or 9 children when he died. So my dad and my mom took in my cousin, who was 12 or 13. And my dad was the one that was teaching him his catechism. And they were in the other room, and I was playing. I was 5 or 6 at the time. I was playing with my dog and whatever. I had a dog most of the time of my life. And so I'm playing with my dog because I didn't have any brothers or sisters. And, of course, he was kind of a big cousin. So, you know, when they're 13 and they don't want anything to do with 5-year-olds. Anyway, I was a very fast learner, and he was just the opposite. He was just extremely difficult. He couldn't learn. He had a hard time to read, even at 12. So my dad is sitting with him in the other room, and my father asked him, "And who is it that died on the cross for us?" And he's sitting down, and I can still see him, because I can see him through the room in the other room with my dad, and he's going, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." My dad says, "Well, yeah, what about the rest of it? You know, there's more. What about the rest of it?" And here's my cousin, "Jesus." And my mother said, I piped up, and all I cried out was, "Jesus Christ!" 5 years old, teaching my cousin. Of course, I got in trouble because I was supposed to keep my mouth shut. Haven't been able to shut it since. Father, today, yes, give them the courage to speak up about Jesus Christ, about his birth in the earth, and about his birth in this heart. Bless them, strengthen them, give them grace to go forward. In Jesus' name.